Alrighty, welcome everybody. Today I'm going to try and do things a little differently. I'm going to reflect on Liverpool FC's last decade from January 2010 to, I guess, December 2019, the end of the decade. Been an absolute roller coaster. I mean, start of 2010, the end of 2019 is going to be definitely contrasting views. What's really happened in that time? So we start in January 2010. Liverpool currently going through a pretty poor season under Rafa Benitez. Fernando Torres was injured. It's starting to, I guess, the decline of his career at Liverpool. Liverpool went on to finish sixth in the league. And Rafa Benitez was subsequently sacked from his role at Liverpool. And then started the very difficult times at Liverpool, because pretty much from May 2010 onwards, so after Rafa got sacked, so they went on to appoint Roy Hodgson after he guided Fulham to Europa League final, which they lost against Atletico Madrid. They had a very successful season by their standards, so they decided to hire Roy Hodgson. What then followed was one of the worst, not full seasons in the end, but one of the worst half seasons, the months from August through to early January, was firstly the transfers that Liverpool brought in, so Paul Konchesky, Christian Poulsen, Milan Jovanovic, Joe Cole, and were just absolutely terrible. I mean, in terms of Liverpool's worst signings, a lot of them are very high on the list. Alongside a few others that Rafa Benitez has signed and Brendan Rodgers has gone on to sign for the club. It's absolutely horrendous time at Liverpool. At one point, they were in the relegation zone, beaten by clubs like Blackpool and West Brom and a heap of other teams that shouldn't be going to Anfield getting anything. And they left it with all 3 points. So then, January 2011, and Roy Hodgson gets sacked. Liverpool well below where they should be after losing to Blackburn away. And then King Kenny joins the club. And after he joined the club, suddenly they had a resurgence in form. Maxi Rodriguez brought into the club early January 2010 by Rafa Benitez. Enjoyed a very successful half season, very thrived under Dalglish. Liverpool went on to finish sixth again. The real disappointment happened in January, or I guess controversial. Fernando Torres decided to hand in a transfer request and left Liverpool deadline day, January 2011. Liverpool had already bought in Luis Suarez from Ajax for $22.8 million. Liverpool were hoping to partner Suarez with Fernando Torres. One can only imagine that partnership would have been absolutely phenomenal. Definitely would have been a success in my opinion, but we aren't to know any of that. Liverpool I guess at that point, had 50 million to spend. So who are they going to spend it on? Fortunately, they spent it all, 35 million, on Andy Carroll from Newcastle. God knows why we signed him. I mean, in terms of Suarez and Carroll, they couldn't be any more of a mismatch if they tried. I mean, Andy Carroll is a big, tall forward, thriving on aerial balls and that sort of thing. And you have Luis Suarez, one of the most gifted strikers in world football today, and certainly grew his obviously leading to a move to Barcelona later on. So that sparked a resurgence for Luis Suarez. They definitely improved as a unit. And then Dalglish was given quite a bit of money in the summer of 2011. So obviously at that point, Liverpool were in good form, so they wanted to build on that form. So they decided to invest a lot of money into the team. So they bought in Stuart Downing from Aston Villa for 20 million. Jordan Henderson would join the club from Sunderland for 16 million. They also signed a few more players. They signed Charlie Adam. They also signed Craig Bellamy on deadline day. And that was a major surprise. He had already played for Liverpool for one season, in 06-07 season. Here he was again after leaving City. It was a mixed season. It was a season where Liverpool's defence was quite ordinary. They had a pretty weak squad. Unfortunately, Steven Gerrard was out for most of the season through a lot of injury problems, groin problems and that sort of thing. Groin problems which led to infections. Unfortunately, hampered is pretty much all his whole season, aside from a few games. They were also quite unlucky. I mean, Luis Suarez hit the post and crossbar, I think it was around 20 times in the whole season, which is a record as far as I'm concerned. I mean, that's a lot of times. Liverpool's attack was at times unbearable to watch, watching Carroll and Suarez try to play together, and Carroll went on to score 4 goals that season. It's fair to say that he was a major flop, unfortunately. It just didn't work out for him. And Liverpool finished 8th that season in the league, which ultimately led to FSG, who took over in the summer of 2010. They fired Dalglish after a pretty poor season. In the summer of 2012, Liverpool went on to hire Brendan Rodgers after a successful season with Swansea in their first year in the Premier League, finishing at the top half of the table. Liverpool wanted someone who not only could lead them in the right direction, but also brought their own identity to the club, which I think it's safe to say that Brendan Rodgers had that identity. Obviously, he worked under Jose Mourinho at Chelsea. He was a young manager, but one with a lot of ambition. But he also played a very certain style, which was very attractive, very easy on the eye, I guess is the best word I can put for it. Liverpool really didn't do much in the window. They loaned out Andy Carroll, who would end up going to West Ham on loan, the option to buy. Craig Bellamy left. Liverpool's transfers in was probably one of the quietest windows up until last summer, 2019. Brought in Asaidi for $3 million, a winger who showed a bit of promise, would end up being, well, a pretty big flop. Only played a couple of times. And they brought in Joe Allen and Fabio Barini. Two players who Rodgers knew from both Swansea and Chelsea, respectively. That's all Liverpool really did in the transfer window. I don't think many people had huge expectations over how they would go that season. Obviously, not bringing in anyone major, but making Suarez the vocal point in their attack. He had a very successful season. I think he scored something like 30 goals that season. Suarez definitely proved that he was becoming, well, getting into that world-class striker talk of everybody. Everyone's obviously at the time was talking about Aguero being probably the best striker in the world at that point, alongside a few others. Suarez was very quickly getting involved in that argument, I guess. Steven Gerrard played more that season. It's good to see him back after pretty much the whole of the 11-12 campaign out with injury. Nuri Sahin was also brought in on loan from Real Madrid. Only played once or twice before he left the club in January. It was very strange. I actually thought it was a decent loan signing. He was out for the whole, pretty much the whole 11-12 campaign after moving on from Dortmund to Real Madrid in the dream move. He was out for the whole, pretty much the whole season with injury, which is a major shame for him. It was good to see in the 12-13 season that Liverpool had a certain identity, had a certain way of playing, which was quite attractive. Obviously, it was their first season doing it, so it was obviously going to have problems. But it was very attractive on the eye. It was clear that Rodgers was bringing his identity in, which was always going to be difficult his first season. Liverpool went on to finish 6th or 7th, from memory. So it was another mid-ish table finish, which Liverpool fans were getting frustrated at this point. In January 2013, Brendan Rodgers did, well, has to be said, probably his two best transfers ever in Liverpool tenure. He brought in Daniel Sturridge for $12 million and Philip Coutinho for $8.5 million. Both absolute genius buyers if you looked at it now. If you look at what they've gone on to do, and also in terms of resale value, with Coutinho moving to Barcelona for $142 million. Looks like an absolute bit of genius now that you think about it. Coutinho and Sturridge just fitted in absolutely seamlessly. Like, in terms of young players with resale value, they definitely got it right with those two. No questions asked, really. I think Brendan Rodgers got it completely right. They definitely needed new signings as well in January. They had a very thin squad. It was just lacking in depth completely. So they're heading in the right direction, I feel, at this point, Liverpool. I felt like there were one or two signings off being a competitor for the top four. They were definitely heading in the right direction after a few very poor seasons by their standards. At this point as well, Liverpool had no European football. They played in the Europa League in the 12-13 season. They got knocked out by Zenit St. Petersburg. Almost made a miraculous comeback. Unfortunately, just falling just short, thanks to a Hulk goal at Anfield, unfortunately. Sent them out. And Suarez had a cracking game. Almost won the game on his own. So the summer of 2013 comes in. Liverpool went to Australia I got to see him play in Melbourne. It's great. Got to see Stephen Gerrard score, even better. Liverpool's jerseys in the 2013-14 season have to be the worst jerseys I've ever seen in football. And I'm saying that even as a Liverpool fan and buying a heap of their jerseys. Their away kit, the white one with the writing at the bottom of the jersey, just looks horrendous. The third kit, just I don't know what they were thinking with that. I end up buying it just because I always tend to buy the Liverpool jerseys that are either dark or darker in general. Like the darker red ones of recent memory have been terrific. Just the darker ones have always been the ones I tend to buy rather than the white ones or the yellow ones or something like that. I end up buying it, but looking back on it, I don't know why I did that. Other than the fact that I'm a Liverpool fan. And it seems like any jersey will sell, really. Because, you know, it's all about who it's for. So, in the 13-14 season, Liverpool signed really not that many. They signed Mamadou Sakho from PSG, £18 million. Clear that Liverpool needed a strong centre-half to try and plug the defence a bit more, to try and, I guess, get Liverpool back on to a better path. They also signed Simon Mignolet from Sunderland, so effectively Pepe Reina was on his way out. Obviously he wasn't going to be on the bench. Obviously Ben Rogers wanted someone a bit stronger in goal, someone a bit more on his wavelength, I guess. Pepe Reina at that point had, in my opinion, waved a little bit in terms of form and that sort of thing, so I guess it was fair enough that he moved on. Liverpool's 13-14 form. The start of the season was a bit odd because at the end of the 12-13 season, Luis Suarez had bitten Bratislav Ivanovic in a game against Chelsea, which ultimately led to a 8 or 9 game ban from memory, something like that. Unfortunately, it wasn't the first time Luis Suarez had done something like that. It was a lot of people think that Luis Suarez, as good as he was that season, he was also at fault for them not winning the league, because they lost a few games at they lost one game at the start of the season against Southampton, thanks to a Dejan Lovren goal. He ended up joining the Reds the following season. And they also drew at Swansea as well, 2-2, with goals from Jonjo Shelvey, who'd left Liverpool in the summer of before that season started. So, if you think about it, if Suarez was in for those games, Liverpool likely would have gotten more out of those, and they would have won the league, I guess, if you think about it. Their form in the 13-14 season was fantastic, especially attacking-wise. I mean, Suarez and Sturridge had scored something like 60-odd goals between the two of them throughout the season. They were just absolutely fantastic. Defensively, they were quite weak. They still conceded a lot of goals. I think they conceded something like 50 in the Premier League or something like that. More than one a game, which is not good. Not good at all. But they'd scored something like 100 plus or something like that. Even players like Gerrard and Skirtle and a few others had scored nearly 10 plus, which is a lot for central midfielders and particularly defensive players. Like, scoring that many goals is a lot. Unfortunately, Liverpool's form leading up to April, they'd won something like 10 or 11 games in a row, and they were ahead in the Premier League. But Chelsea came to Anfield, and they played a weakened team. I remember watching it because I thought Chelsea's going to play a weakened squad because they've got a semi-final in the Champions League against Atletico Madrid, a second leg. So Mourinho fielded, I guess, a weakened squad. a few unrecognised names, and Chortzer in goal and that sort of thing. They played a much weaker team. So I thought, this is Liverpool's chance to beat one of the big boys and really make a push towards the Premier League. Unfortunately, it wasn't to happen. Unfortunately, Steven Gerrard got the ball on the halfway line in the first half and unfortunately slipped over. Demba Ba went through and scored. And Liverpool really didn't recover from that in the game. They dominated, but it just felt like one of those games where they weren't going to score, and unfortunately they didn't. Unfortunately, Chelsea then scored a second in injury time through Willian after Fernando Torres went through, which, yeah, seeing him run through and then assist Willian at the end was a real kick in the teeth. If it wasn't already, Chelsea kicking us in the teeth, seeing Fernando Torres run through, helping Chelsea spoil the party, definitely did not help. But then they also went to Crystal Palace in the following game, and it was clear that Liverpool would just try to score as many goals as possible, as they were up 3-0. Even though they went up 3-0 with 10 minutes to go, I always felt that there was going to be something that was going to happen. And unfortunately, it wasn't for Liverpool. They collapsed defensively, conceded two very soft goals in an injury time. Crystal Palace just put in this long ball, and you just got this sinking feeling like, oh no, what's going to happen here? It went over the defence, straight to Dwight Gayle, who poked beyond Simon Mignolet, and was 3-3. And unfortunately, that meant the only way Liverpool was going to win the title was if City were to lose at home to West Ham and Liverpool beat Newcastle. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. Unfortunately, Man City won and they won the Premier League. It hurt a lot as a Liverpool fan, seeing City win the way they did. After Liverpool were dominated, definitely the latter part of the season, unfortunately, just couldn't go that final hurdle. So now we get to the 14-15 season. Liverpool unfortunately lost Luis Suarez after he bit another player at a World Cup, this time in Giorgio Chiellini against Italy, which unfortunately resulted in another long ban for Luis Suarez, a few months at least, something like that. He then went on to join Barcelona for $75 million. Which was obviously terrible, losing such a phenomenal player. Liverpool decided to reinvest the money, not in one single player, but they decided to spend money on a gathering of players. They signed Lallana for $25 million, signed Chan for $10 million, they signed Lovren for $20 odd million, they signed Markovic $16 million, they signed Origi for $8 million, and Manquillo on loan. Ricky Lambert as well came in on a free transfer. So Liverpool's squad really technically become more deeper, but unfortunately what they did was they didn't do the one thing they should have done, and that's try to place Luis Suarez with another great striker, because at that point all we had was Sturridge. Technically, I mean, we still had Ricky Lambert, but he was never going to fill the void of Luis Suarez. Unfortunately, Daniel Sturridge got injured for most of that season, up until about February, March from memory. So Liverpool in the 14-15 season were pretty much without two of their lethal strikers, and still with a quite leaky defence, to say the least. Unfortunately, Liverpool that season were just, they were hard to watch. There's no other way to put it. I also went to England to see them play against Burnley in March 2015. And they played this 3-4-3 formation where Raheem Sterling was kind of like a right wing back. They also signed Albert Moreno from Sevilla for 12 million. So Liverpool really reinvested the money, I guess, in a careful sort of way, which allowed them to buy a lot of players for and not spend too much net, I guess. Yeah, I guess net spend after players sold, I think it was about 40 million. Liverpool have always been, I guess up until now, well, I guess now as well, have always been a tidy club in terms of how much they spend. They don't spend 100 million plus on net spend. They've always sort of been a very tidy club where they tend not to spend any more than 60 or 70 mil, at least net spend, but they tend to get that back on other things, like obviously sponsorships and that sort of thing. Yeah, in the 14-15 season, they were just awful. They conceded the same amount of goals they did the previous year, so 50-odd, but they also just didn't score much at all. They only scored about 40 or 50 goals that season, and they finished 8th in the league. In my opinion, Brendan Rodgers should have been sacked at the end of that season, particularly after the last game, which was ultimately Steven Gerrard's last game in a Liverpool jersey, and Liverpool were down 5-0 at halftime to Stoke, which I can only imagine the dressing down those players got. Steven Gerrard's last game before he retires, or well, not technically retires because he went to LA Galaxy, but you're playing in a Legends last game and that's the performance you bring out. Like, I was disgusted to see that. They end up losing the game 6-1. Steven Gerrard ended up scoring in that match. But, yeah, like, it was an absolutely awful end. So, unfortunately, Steven Gerrard left Liverpool. He wasn't offered a new deal, which I cannot understand that. Like, regardless of how good he was, obviously, towards the end, obviously, he was getting injured more. But he was still such a useful player. He was the captain of Liverpool. Still a very important part of the squad. But ultimately, the Liverpool hierarchy obviously saw different to that. So he ended up leaving. Which brings us to the 15-16 season. So 15-16, they brought in Roberto Firmino for 30 million. Go on to be the focal point of arguably Liverpool's deadliest attack ever today. They also brought in Christian Benteke for 32.5 million. Liverpool also came out to Australia again. I saw them play in Adelaide. And I just thought this is still a very weak Liverpool side, regardless of who they had available. They still looked very weak. They brought in Adam Bogdan for free from Bolton. And they brought in James Milner for free from Manchester City. Again, at the start of the 15-16 season, they just looked very lackluster. Christian Benteke trying to combine with players like Lallana and Philip Coutinho, it just struck me as very hard as how he's going to fit with those sort of players. Roberto Firmino has played completely out of position. They try to play him on the right wing, which is just not his position. He's definitely better played through the middle. And it became clear as day that it just wasn't working. Brendan Rodgers was subsequently sacked after Liverpool drew 1-1 against Everton in October. And they made probably their best decision for living memory. October 2015, they brought in Jurgen Klopp after he had left Borussia Dortmund, obviously well-loved by the fans and loved by a lot of people through his very friendly, very energetic style, which I knew was going to be a great fit at Liverpool. But it was going to take some time, obviously, because he didn't have his squad. For the rest of the season, it just seemed like it was just going to be a very hit-and-miss season because Jurgen Klopp really didn't have much to work with because, obviously, he didn't have the players who he wanted who were going to make his system work. Liverpool finished 8th that season again. But they made a Europa League final They end up losing to Sevilla. Sevilla ended up winning for the third time in a row, which is a pretty incredible record. So unfortunately, losing the Europa League final, Liverpool would enter the next season without any European football at all. Because obviously in the 14-15 season and 15-16, they were in Europe. At least in one form. 14-15, they're in the Champions League, but they were knocked out in the group stage. Yeah, because, I mean, they lost both games against Real Madrid. They lost away at Basel. And, yeah, they were just awful that season in general. To be honest, I don't think they deserved to get into the group stage or go past the group stage in Europe. And then they got relegated to the Europa League, and then they lost to Besiktas. So, I mean, that's really the story of that season. So now we get to the 16-17 season, where Jurgen Klopp's first transfer window, where he could have bought some players and really brought in his identity, because Jurgen Klopp has a very particular style, which is based around pressing football, very attractive football, very energetic, a lot like him, basically, just off on the field. So, very energetic and very attractive football. Changes he made at the start of the 16-17 season. He put Roberto Firmino as a false nine. Coutinho, and he brought in Sadio Mane, which would go on to be one of Liverpool's best ever signings. From Southampton. And then pretty much from that season onwards, Liverpool really just clicked into another gear, because Jurgen Klopp brought in his 4-3-3 formation. Well, technically, I guess you could say a 4-3-1-2, because Roberto Firmino plays as a false nine, which allows the wingers to come inside. Liverpool had a very successful 16-17 campaign. They lost a home game to Crystal Palace in April 2017. It is now April 2020. And Liverpool still haven't, in that time, lost a home game at Anfield in the Premier League, which is an incredible record. I'm going to, sort of, running out of time here, I'm going to sort of narrow it down. So, pretty much from 2016, start of the 16-17 campaign, to now, 2021 season, Liverpool have just gone from a decent-ish club to a European powerhouse. On the way, beating clubs like PSG, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Manchester City. I mean, if you were to go to a Liverpool fan in 2012 and tell them that we'd be lifting the Champions League, lifting the Super Cup, should be winning the Premier League, but obviously we don't know what that situation is going to be. Like, you would have been laughed in the face, because it was just such a difference. Like, Liverpool, the start of the decade, most of the start of the decade to now, they were just, well, mid-table, I guess, is the best way to put it. The players they've gone on to sign, Mo Salah, Alisson, Van Dijk, Fabinho, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Andy Robertson, Trent Alexander-Arnold coming up from the academy, just to name a few. But then, obviously, Henderson becoming captain, becoming an absolute integral part of the side, totally unappreciated. Just to name a few, and just to see the difference in class is just absolutely phenomenal. It's enjoyable to watch. Just, they've had their defensive issues. in the 17-18 season, Liverpool finished fourth. The first half of that, Liverpool's defence was very leaky, to say the least. Some performances in particular were very, very poor. But then they brought in Virgil van Dijk, and it was just such a difference. And then they brought in Alisson. Liverpool in the 18-19 season conceded 22 goals in a Premier League season, scored 89. Then, and they didn't win the Premier League after getting 97 points the whole season, going undefeated at Anfield and losing one game all season. Liverpool in the 1920 season have lost one game in the Premier League. 29 games in. Liverpool's first loss came after 26 games. Liverpool unfortunately knocked out of the Champions League this season by Atletico Madrid. They won the Champions League last season after one of the most incredible games of living memory, thus losing against Barcelona 3-0 at the Nou Camp, which if you watch the game from start to finish, Liverpool deserved a lot more out of that game. Completely dominated Barcelona, bar obviously the goals by a certain Argentine legend, arguably the best player of all time. But then come back 4-0 without Salah, without Firmino. That comeback was just absolutely incredible. Two goals from Origi, two goals from Wijnaldum. Just an absolutely incredible comeback, which not, I'd say Istanbul is the best comeback that Liverpool have done, one of the best of all time. But the one against Barcelona certainly comes close. And then they went on to beat Tottenham in the final, 2-0. Great celebrations afterwards, that's for sure. I remember getting way too drunk and just yelling at the top of my lungs and just enjoying the moment. A lot of Liverpool fans really enjoyed it because, not just because the fact that obviously they won the Champions League and obviously it's a great achievement, but it's safe to say the last decade or so has been very tough. There have been a lot of years where they've underperformed and seen rival clubs dominate the league and Champions League, and it's nice to see Liverpool back to where they should be. Who knows where they'll be in the next decade? I hope it'll be very successful. I dare say by the end of the decade, we'll see Steven Gerrard as manager of Liverpool. I hope FSG are still in charge. Done an amazing job. Always backed Jurgen Klopp. Made the right signings, and they are where they should be. So we can only hope that they maintain that. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I kind of skipped ahead with a few years, but just running out of time. Got to go back to work, unfortunately. But I hope you enjoyed my little segment about Liverpool. It's very interesting to do these sort of things. So stay safe, everybody, and catch you in the next episode. Cheers.